Yeah.
You're so much more free to.
Yeah, when you're breaking them, like, you have it. You can use this for your emblems.
Yeah.
Are you ready?
Yep. What is going down, everybody? It's time for the Mojo Break, the Hype Podcast. This is episode number 142 coming at you from the Mojo Break Studios. We got a lot of stuff to talk about today. We're going to talk about market fatigue in certain products. So stay tuned for that towards the end of the show. We're also going to talk baseball. Baseball's back. So we're going to talk about some of the up-and-coming stars, some of their prices, stuff like that. So it's going to be a really, really fun show. So I'd like to go over some of the new releases to start off the show. First off, Dan Seerad, how you guys doing?
Chilling. Clearly Authentic came out today. Got a little Series 2 coming out on Friday. Mm-hmm. Got a little Legacies Football coming out on Friday. And yep. We still got some NT we're going through.
Yep.
What up, Seerad?
What's up, guys? How's everybody doing today?
How's the NT been, man?
NT's been fun as always. Still chasing a Zion RPA, though. True one.
Are you looking forward to some Spectra?
This year, actually, yes. Very much looking forward to Spectra because we got the Logo Man to chase this year. Plus,
exactly.
They actually put the Starburst. You knew yes. What I was going to say. Yeah, it's Color Burst in Spectra this year instead of Prism, which is interesting.
We'll probably be a little teaser for next show. We'll probably be talking about that on the next show because I think Spectra is going to be highly sought after, as you've seen with some of the first off the line today. Don't have any slides for Spectra, but they got the Nebula, like C-Rad just mentioned. Nebula Logo Man 101. So shine Logo Man. It's what we all crave as card collectors, right?
I'm going to be that guy, like I usually am. And I'm going to throw out the fact that do we need another product that has Logo Man?
Yes,
we do. Yes. We can never have enough. It's not going to devalue NT
year.
Logo Mans and Immaculate Logo Mans and Flawless Logo Mans.
There's just not enough Logo Mans for this. For the
there, but now you're one of one Logo Mans, like a one of five.
Not
one of four.
Don't break my heart like that.
I'm just saying. I mean, I don't think. Couldn't they do the tag Logo Man like they did in like? What did they do that back in the day? Was it Noir?
No, they did that in Spectra.
They do it in Spectra? Mm-hmm. But now you're getting like the Logo Man Logo Man, like another Logo Man.
Getting a true Logo Man.
Yeah.
We don't need any more true Logo Mans.
We do have a lot of Logo Mans. But that's, hey, once the NT ones hit, then we can look forward to the Spectra one. We can look forward to the Flawless. We can look forward to the Immaculate. So there's always something to hit. But as far as this week's releases, we've got Clearly Authentic, which breaks down to a one-hit encased acetate auto per box, and they're retailing around $69. So in the age of, you know, everything super expensive, this is actually a pretty good price point. You're guaranteed a hit. They've got a great checklist with all the rookies, Bichette, Roberts, Jordan, all those guys. Plus they got all the legends. They got Trout, so it's a decent checklist. And if you like acetates, and they use the old school designs, the 84 design. They're doing the 52 design. So, and it's all clear. It's all acetate. It's encased. It's nice. So I really do like Clearly Authentic. We got more of that breaking this week at MojoBreak.com. Friday, Series 2 comes out. 2020 Series 2. Topps does not have a checklist yet. We don't know what we're chasing. But, you know, Series 2 is always fun. We know we are going to be chasing the 25 special golden tickets, which is supposedly the party of a lifetime, where I'm sure they'll have some high noons at that place. You know, 25 special tickets for, you know, this Vegas event they're touting. So you can pull that out of Series 2. And then we got Legacies on Friday, which we're actually going to bring back up later on in the show as far as market fatigue is going to be one of the topics. It's going to be Legacy. So, we also have a giveaway for Instagram. We mentioned the Dylan Larkin one last week. We actually have a Fernando Tatis giveaway. Signed Tatis, Fernando Tatis Jr. jersey. So go on our Instagram, which is MojoBreak_com. Make sure you follow the steps, and somebody's going to win this beautiful Tatis jersey. I don't even have one of those. I have a Tatis signed bat, but I do not have a jersey. So you met Tatis. How was he?
You met Tatis.
I did, but I don't want to speak again.
I thought you were going to be – correcting to say would be like a good transition. I've been like, I met Tatis. I met him. I did meet him. Cool dude. Pro hair. Pro attitude.
As pro as your hair?
I could only strive to be half as cool as Fernando Tatis Jr. I mean, maybe might be in the category of senior. We might be about the same age.
That's true. Closer to dad's age.
your daddy's Tatis. but yeah, I mean, he's one of the rising stars in the MLB. So, and the Padres are up and coming team, I would say as well. Mm-hmm. They've had some good drafts, some good trades, and watch out for the Padres. Maybe their time to shine.
Well, 60 game season, we think, for baseball. Baseball's back. So it was a perfect segue. I'm excited. I mean, Dan's excited. C-Rad's excited. Everybody's got hope in their eyes for baseball being back. And I want to hear your guys' thoughts, your predictions on who do you think is going to win the season, because it's a different kind of thing now. It is not a marathon. It is a short sprint. It's a 60-game season. A lot can happen. Every game matters. Players are going to play a little differently. They may not take time off. Obviously, we've got concerns with the pandemic. Hopefully, it doesn't shut it down. But it looks like they're targeting July 24th as the start date, 60-game season. DH in the National League for the first time. It's going to be pretty exciting. So players will report to spring training by July 1st. And, we've been waiting for this for 3 months. We've still been breaking cards. We've been still talking about sports. But now we're going to have events and games to talk about. And I'm super excited. And I hope it all pans out and it works out. I mean, what's your thought, Dan?
All right.
How excited are you?
I'm really excited. You know me. I love baseball. But what I want to talk about on the fly here is what I'm going to do is between the three of us, let's go ahead and pick who in a 60-game season is going to represent the National League in the World Series, represent the American League in the World Series, and who's going to take it all.
Okay.
We're going to go ahead and start with Doug.
I think it's going to be an all-red World Series. We're going to have the Angels facing off against the Braves, and I think Trout's going to get his first World Series championship and vilify his prices in the hobby.
I like it. C-Rad.
I'm going to go... I'm gonna go ahead and say Yankees. Oops. Okay. New York Yankees, that's probably the easy pick, right? And then look at the list. Let's go Yankees. The Dodgers. How about that, Giants fan? Let's go.
What? The two out of the gate. Those are the two favorites. Yankees and Dodgers.
Oh, so I didn't even look at the odds.
C-Rad really went out on a limb there.
I didn't look at the odds. I didn't even know the odds.
Yeah, but you nailed it. You nailed it.
And he's wearing an ace hat, too. Show him your ace hat.
He went
against it. That was tough.
And, both your guys' predictions, I don't really have a problem with them. Who'd you say? You said the Angels in the AL, huh? Mm-hmm.
Yep.
I don't hate that one either. I'm going to go, and I'm going to be the odd one out here. You don't know who I'm going with the National League, though.
No, I don't.
But I'm going White Sox in the American League. And we actually can do this again. We didn't say who's going to win. We just said who's going to be in. So
I did.
Oh, you said?
I said Trout's going
to
get it.
Well, we'll go back to C-Rad after I give you my NL prediction. So White Sox in the AL. Braves in the NL.
Okay.
So I'm jumping on the Doug train over there, and I think the Braves win it. But the White Sox, they can hit and they make it, and I just think the Braves are more of, they're already there. Like the White Sox are pretty much where the Braves were a year or two ago. I think that it's time for the Braves to take that next step. Who's gonna win out of the old Dodgers and the Yankees? C-Rad, who's taking it,
bro? As much as I would love to go to rain on the Giants parade, I got to go Yankees.
That's
dude.
Probably a good pick.
Yeah, because they're gonna have Kershaw.
Yeah, I mean Kershaw. He's easily 0-for. They make it to the World Series. He's 0-for-2, 9 ERA.
Yeah.
Which
would be low.
We've already read that book before. That's happened before. So, yeah, I'm pretty excited. Are you excited about baseball?
I'm excited for any sports. Now, I know you're a big NASCAR fan, and we've got golf going on and stuff like that. But, we don't open those products. So I want to be able to jump on this feed with you guys, open up some products, and be talking about, Acuna just hit three home runs. You know, Trout just went for the cycle in this game, or Ohtani or something. I just want to be able to have some conversations with people. I will watch as many games as possible baseball. I'm sorry I didn't watch that many games last year. I really do.
Sorry, it's cheating.
I'm sorry. I'm sorry I watched a lot more basketball and football this last couple of years instead of baseball, but I will never take you for granted, baseball. I won't! But anyways.
I love you, baseball.
This was an interesting little proposition here, a little prop bet that Darren Bell tweeted out today. With the 60-game season, Sportsbook USA has just posted a fun prop. Will an MLB hitter hit 400 or better? You get 8-1 on your money. Only 60-game season. So, you know, I don't know the statistics of guys that have had a 400 batting average 60 games in. Mm. And I don't know what they will do as far as requirements, because if a guy only plays in 40 games, will he still be, you know, be the batting champion? I don't know.
Got to have minimum bats, right? So, say 60 games, they would have to have
at least 50 games played.
No, at bats would be the key. It wouldn't be games played. It would be at bats. So, 150 to 200 at bats.
Probably. But that's going to be the funny thing of all this too. I mean, obviously the home run record won't be broken, the wins record won't be broken. But like, what if somebody does? I know that the average record is almost unachievable. But what if somebody does actually hit 400 for the season and they get put in the category as Tony Gwynn and Ted Williams? There's got to be a little one of these going on, right? Because it's like you did it in a 60-game season.
You know, you may have the same conversation with home runs. You had it in the strike shortened year with
Matt Williams.
Like, what if by game 60, there's a player who hit 35 bombs? And then it's like, what if? Like, if he played 162 games, then on that pace, he should have hit, you know, over 73.
Well, I know they wouldn't honor it, but let's just say that he had 35 and the next year they played 162. What if they did the math and that 100 games, he had another 50 home runs?
You know,
like he had 85 home runs and you know,
and I know
162 games.
And I know we're Barry Bonds homers, but if this happened 10 years prior,
mm-hmm.
this would be a perfect time for Barry to come back, play 60 games, not have to play every day, get to play with the Giants, play as a DH. I mean, there's no doubt that I think Barry could still hit the baseball, and he would not be the worst player on the Giants team right now.
Probably the best.
Sign Barry at like 50, whatever, 4 years old. let's watch Mr. 3000 in real life.
Yeah, I mean, let's bring some more excitement to the table.
I mean, and you can't say you're going to do it to put meat in the seats, because there'll be zero meat in the seats.
Well, with the 60 game season, you just mentioned days off. Do you think anybody's taking days off at this point?
I think if you're a catcher, you got to work your four days and then you take your fifth day off. I mean, that's why you carry two or three catchers on every team.
But that's the thing. They know that they're in it for the long haul for a 162 game season. Now they're playing 60. They know they're going to have that rest come, the end of October, right? So, you know, maybe you just push the limits and you play every day.
My thing is that it's historic. If you look through some of the best players in the league, historically, a lot of them have a slow start. Even out of spring training, they'll start and they'll hit like the first 20 games. They'll hit like a .160. This could be one of those years where your perennial all-stars end up having, even if end up hitting 200.
That could
be a stain on their career.
Well, if you follow every year, typically pitchers start off hotter because batters are still trying to figure it out. I mean, you do have some pitchers that have slow starts too, because their stuff's not working, but it's going to be interesting to see. This is a historic baseball season. I mean, pandemic, obviously the negativity around it, but this is going to be, we're going to look back on this. This is going to be just such a weird thing to talk about. You know, we're like living in this thing where it was a 60 game season. They had the DH throughout the whole season. You know, so it's going to be crazy. I mean, I wanted to look at some of the cards of some of the bigger name guys. We mentioned Ohtani. I mean, I think Ohtani's prices are already on the rise. I think people are already catching on. This could be a season where Ohtani breaks out because he knows he's only going to play 60 games. So he could be pitching a lot more. He could be in the lineup a lot more. And obviously my pick is the Angels. I think in that lineup with Anthony Rendon and now Trout, I mean, it could be the Angels. I mean, Ohtani could be hitting bombs and throwing perfect games. I don't know.
Dear, please do not have Ohtani pitch anymore.
Why?
Just have him hit.
No.
He's a hitter. Have him hit. Hitters hit.
Hitters hit, but there's been nobody that's been able to do that.
Don't make him a pitcher. Like, if you want to win a championship, have him hit. He don't have him pitch. If you want to be cute and have him pitch in a postseason out of the pen for like an inning here, that's fine. But don't have him start. That's gonna take. If he starts, he can't pitch. He can't hit the next day. Put him in the lineup. Let him swing the bat. He's not a pitcher.
Yeah, but we haven't seen this before. This is a shiny toy. This is a guy that can possibly break records on both sides of the ball. Nobody's been able to do that before. It's like if you had a football player that played defense and offense.
I think the key with Ohtani is having him come out of the bullpen and pitch one inning here and there. And then you can get him to, you know, play the next day.
I don't know. You know what? We have it in and see if there's anything good to contribute from the chat as well. But I was going to say, can you – I don't know the rules. This is on the fly. I don't know if the rules are baseball. Could he basically start – let's just say he plays left field. Could he pitch same game? Could they rotate him to pitching?
Yeah, but the pitcher, I think, would have to go into left field. Okay. They would. I don't think they can I remember Bochy doing that. I remember Bochy.
But that was, I think, in the same inning. I think what if you subbed out, like, moved him to – you did a double switch, and then you had him become a pitcher, and then you switched out the pitcher to left field, but you had the left somebody off the bench come in.
And then when you do another switch, you'd have to do a double switch and, like, bring somebody out and then put – you can't have 10 players out there.
Yeah.
I mean, that would be – if we could.
No, I'm saying maybe he comes in to face one batter in the seventh, right? He's pitching in the seventh now.
Comes in to play one batter, and then he, like, gets taken out, and instead of going into the dugout, he goes back to left field?
No, here's my scenario. So he's playing – I know he's not a position player, so this is where the scenario won't really work. He's been more of a DH.
He can play the outfield.
He can play outfield. So let's just say he starts the game in outfield, and it's the seventh inning, and they move him in to pitch. And then they move the pitcher out there in left field. I know, which is a liability for one inning. But then the next inning, they sub out the pitcher for a bench player who's now a left fielder. And now Ohtani's basically played half the game as a hitter or half the game as a position player and half the game as a pitcher. Is that possible? Is there a way to do that?
But no, I think he I don't think he would. I don't foresee Ohtani as a pitcher in the league. I mean, that's my opinion. But I think, like, if he is going to pitch, he can pitch an inning.
Yeah.
Why lose that bat in your lineup so he can pitch three innings?
And then if you're a DH, can you play a position in the same game?
So
these are all things that I've never thought about.
I don't see why you wouldn't be able to, like, if you're a DH and you're like, okay, we're going to bring in another DH, and you're going to go play first base, former DH guy.
I think as long as you don't lose where you're batting, because obviously you can't.
I don't know. I this is weird because, like, we grew up
National League
watching
guys.
National League, and you don't have all these, like, weird strategies you can do with the DH. Mm-hmm. National League Baseball, very cut and dry. You got 99% of the time, the pitcher's going to hit ninth in the lineup.
Now, you know, you got the Bochy doing the double switch, and then he moves. He's able to move the lineup. So, like, if the pitcher was due up the next inning, he could do a double switch, and now the pitcher doesn't.
Yeah, this conversation's probably bringing some Z's to the lineup.
Yeah, it is.
But it's there's nothing worse than two dudes just, like,
trying to figure out
baseball on the fly. Like, but this has to tell you how much we miss baseball.
People smashing their keyboard. What do you mean? You don't know the rules.
We're talking the old X's and O's over here of, like, you know, strategy. And
Never thought about it.
We're excited. We're excited to see some baseball. So, like, you know, we're talking about the what ifs and what you can and cannot do.
So Ohtani cards, like I said, have been on the rise. There's been a few recent sales. The first one was that definitive patch, which is absolutely fantastic. It sold for, what was that on the slide before? $3,000 for a one-of-one logo patch from 2020.
Amazing
patch. 2020. And then an orange first Bowman, basically, because he didn't have a first Bowman, but he has a rookie card. This is the most sought-after design, the 2018 Bowman of him pitching. Orange, 17 out of 25, clocked in at 27,000. So Ohtani on the rise. I mean, one thing to consider about Ohtani when you're collecting baseball cards is he has a bigger market. I mean, he has people overseas that are buying his cards more so than some of the other players. I've also got a few more rising stars. Acuna, I mean, his prices rose a little bit after the pandemic. We've talked about the Braves. We've already talked about the Angels as well. But you got a base auto Gem Mint 10 going for $2,650. And you had a recent sale of an orange refractor number to 25, 9510 on the BGS, $14,800 on Acuna. So pretty crazy to think about, you know, these prices of these guys that have only played for a few years. And then if you go to the next slide, I just wanted to talk about this. I know we've talked about this before, but baseball cards are funny. Prospectors are funny. The hype of all these guys is funny to me because you've got a guy that's won three World Series, the most active, unless Javi Lopez is still playing, the most active World Series, out of all the active players, Buster Posey has the most World Series championships as far as hitting. And a gold refractor, first Bowman, sells for under $1,200. A guy that's won a batting title, a guy that's won an MVP, a guy that's won the Rookie of the Year, and he's won three World Series championships. Acuna hasn't won a championship. Otani hasn't won a championship. Trout hasn't won a championship. Why is it that a guy that actually proves himself wins championships, and we're going to say, well, he doesn't hit the long ball? That's where this whole industry is funny to me. Wouldn't this guy be the high? Shouldn't Buster Posey be one of the highest selling players out of all baseball cards?
He's had three bad offensive seasons in a row.
Doesn't matter. He's won three.
And I love Buster Posey, but obviously, looking at Buster Posey and looking at his stats, like, he is on by far the back nine of his career. His best years are behind him. I could see maybe in the next two or three years he puts up another decent season, 300 and maybe 20 bombs, but I don't see him doing that season in and season out anymore. I think the Giants messed up with putting him behind the dish for majority of his career,
but I think that's where he excels.
I think you're right, because actually you can make an argument that if he isn't catching that pitching staff, they may not win those three championships.
He's a signal caller in a
sense. I think that took about 5 years off of his career in his prime. I think he could have played and put up those type of offensive numbers well into his mid to late 30s if he was a career first baseman. Mm-hmm. Because you look at him swing now, there's like no power in his lower body.
Right.
He's like kind of all upper body. It's not a pretty swing anymore.
I mean, that's what happens with most catchers. I mean, you've seen that happen with Joe Mauer. You've seen that happen with Bench over his career.
I think now Buster Posey, his cards are a good value. I think we're going to look back and you never really remember the bad years from a Hall of Fame caliber player like Buster Posey. Mm-hmm. You look at the good years. You start bringing up the good stats, the MVP, the batting title, the three world championships. You don't put like, oh, well, the 1 year he hit 240 and he hit like six homers. I think his cards could spike after his career and they start going up, because I think Buster Posey is a Hall of Famer. Don't know if he's a first ballot, but I think he does get in.
Any thoughts in the chat? Anybody saying anything about...
Yeah, they're roasting your Giants.
Is Jeff? Jeff's in the chat?
Both Jeffs. They said the Giants pitching won three World Series. Posey was just on the team.
Okay. Yeah, okay, so you win an MVP by just being on the team?
And then there's another guy that said...
Nope. MVP. MVP.
They're saying market is the reason why Giants cards don't sell as good.
Are they not... It's not big enough market?
I don't disagree.
I mean, I'm not going to hate. I mean, the Giants are, they're not the A's. They're not the Rays. I mean, they're the Giants.
Well, if we go with that argument, then why is anybody collecting Wander Franco cards? He plays for the Tampa Bay Rays. If you guys have ever seen a Tampa Bay Ray games on TV, there's like 2,000 fans there. It's just all empty. Giants, the whole stadium's packed. And I'm not just being a homer here, but I'm saying you look at the markets, why are we collecting Wander Franco then? I mean, the Braves were great in the 90s. The Braves are good now. But when Acuna was coming up, Braves weren't very good. Braves weren't winning games. I mean, has Trout even played enough? I think he's played one playoff game.
Is it also because Giants play, like, not the market, but maybe the stadium, because it's so hard to hit home runs? You just know that if you're a Giants prospect or a Giants player, you're probably never going to hit over 30 homers. So that kind of, like, affects what collectors are going to collect, because you know the value is directly connected with the long ball. So maybe we could say it's not the market, but maybe it could be the factor that you're probably not, they're probably not going to hit 40, 50, 60 home runs.
Well, I also think that this could be a contributing factor of that 2008, we weren't breaking. There wasn't a lot of people, as many people collecting cards in 2008. This was old news when the bubble started growing, right? I mean, when 2009 was Trout, but then he didn't really come on to being, you know, a great hitter until 12, 13, 14. And then you got Acuna, who was in 17. You've got, obviously, Jason Dominguez now, but there's so much more growth in the hobby that I think that Buster Posey just got forgotten about.
I got a good comparison with Buster Posey and his market value. And it has a good connection because the player I'm going to compare him to is actually on the same team. Joey Bart outsells Buster Posey.
Yes.
Joey Bart is, I single A last year. I think he may have advanced to double A. Obviously the future, but I could pretty much say that Joey Bart is not going to have the career stats that Buster Posey has. He's not going to come in and win three championships.
I mean, what are the odds that Acuna has three World Series championships? What are the odds that Trout has three World Championships?
What is it about Buster Posey's face that collectors don't like? Let's be honest. What is it?
Maybe it is his face.
Is he not flashy enough?
That's what they're saying.
Is he not? He's just a guy that just a working man going about his business.
There's a couple of people saying that they don't think he's not going to be a Hall of Famer.
Okay. Okay.
Well, there's only been about, I think, 70 or 80 players that have three World Series or more. So, and I think 95% of those are all in the Hall of Fame.
It's not like Buster Posey was sitting on the bench collecting the World Series rings. He was out there calling games, best offensive player on his team. And he won an MVP. He won a batting title. What comeback player of the year?
And I'm not saying, you know, oh my God, I'm floored you guys don't think he's a Hall of Famer. I could see where he's on the cusp. I mean, even some of our local DJs around here that talk, you know, Bay Area sports are on the cusp. So I get that. It's just I'm saying more of as a card market. Is that if you're thinking about making a big investment in a Ronald Acuna card, like we just saw the $14,000 card, and then you look and you're like, Buster Posey won three championships and his card significantly went down in the last 10 years. I'm just saying, I'm not trying to be a downer, but I'm just like, I don't see how the market can continue to go up on some of these guys. If you look to the guys that have made it and have won World Series championships, isn't that the pinnacle of what we're talking about? Is World Series championship? Is that what you want your player to do? So it almost seems like the stuff's going to go down. It's funny because the highest selling football player is Tom Brady, and he's won the most Super Bowls. So it's rightfully so, but the guys that have won the most World Series don't sell more than the guys that won no World Series.
I mean, we're talking quarterback as well.
Right.
Without a quarterback. I mean, but you can make an argument that the catcher is essentially the quarterback on a baseball team. It's just not as flashy.
But from a collectability standpoint, the catcher is like literally like a tight end.
But yeah, but getting back to Buster, if we put Larry Walker into the Hall of Fame, Buster Posey gets it. And Buster Posey may not be a first ballot Hall of Famer, but if you are saying that he is not a Hall of Fame caliber player, you're just a hater. You're just hating. You're hating.
So some recent, I'd say probably that, you know, maybe Scherzer could be on this list too, but the best modern pitchers right now, the best active pitchers would be Justin Verlander and Clayton Kershaw, even though Clayton Kershaw just basically sucks in playoffs. But some of recent sales on their cards. So you had a 2005 Bowman Chrome Gold Refractor Justin Verlander sold for $3,336. You had a gold Clayton Kershaw that was in 2006 Bowman Chrome sold for $5,655. So as you can see, pitchers still don't sell for as much as the hitters do. I don't know if that will ever change. This hobby's funny. Whatever people decide to do, whatever the mass decide to do, then maybe so someday pitchers outsell hitters. But at this point, you know, you're looking at the two best pitchers. You're looking at that's the pinnacle. So you think of how many pitchers are in Bowman in the last 20, 30 years. It makes you not want to collect pitching prospects.
That postseason stigma with Kershaw is never – I mean, it hurts his value for sure. But I think Kershaw could be a good buy. What if Kershaw – not saying he is, but what if he puts a postseason like Madison Bumgarner did in 14 – and just carries a team on his back. Does that does that $5,000 card end up being a $15,000 card with one postseason?
No.
I think it takes one good Kershaw postseason and championship to wipe out everything. No, it did it with Zito. Everybody forgot about Zito's contract. He came in and he basically helped the Giants win a championship, and everybody forgot and moved on. I think if Kershaw put it together for one postseason and was the best pitcher that postseason for any team, it could erase all of his prior postseason struggles, and his cards would go through the roof.
I think for that moment in time, like for that month, or like right around the time that it happens. But I think his past, he's failed so many times. It's going to take more. It's going to take more than one. You're talking about Zito, but Zito didn't have playoff failures. He didn't have game on the line failures. He may have just failed completely, but it's when you're in the moment and you fail, that's worse than just failing regularly. It's like worse than just like failing through the whole season is when you fail when your team needs you the most.
You just need that one. I'm saying a historic run. I think it gets washed. I think he ends up, people forget. Takes one solid postseason to carry his team. And again, that getting back to the hobby, that $5,000 card can be a $10,000 card. You can double your money. I think Kershaw, and don't go out and just buy a bunch of Kershaws now, but I think Kershaw is undervalued. And I think, and I'm not saying just his like Chrome Auto, like Prospect Autos, but like his rookie cards, okay. Graded rookie cards. I think we're going to look at Kershaw, and in 20 years, we're going to look at and go, he was the best pitcher in the game at that time.
Well, I mean, once again, a homer speak here, but you had Bumgarner winning championships single-handedly.
But do you see Kershaw leaving the Dodgers? I think Kershaw is one of, I think he's like Posey. He's going to be a career Dodger, and I think that also adds value
possibly
in the future. Yeah. When you're collecting the rookie cards and you're getting them PSA'd or BGS or whatever, I think him being on that team his whole career adds significant value to that player.
See that? Well, this is a class that Dan's going to take. He's going to improve his handwriting in 30 days. I posed this question on Twitter, and I didn't get a response. I know I did just ask today, but somebody tweet us out a couple days ago about some really bad autos, and there was actually one specifically. So we're going to go over some bad autos. If you guys have any players that you're like, man, this guy really needs to improve his auto. This guy's auto sucks. So does this guy, because there's a lot of them out there. I'm only highlighting a few, but this was recently released. Cam Reddish. I don't know if that was the last one he signed. If you're listening to the podcast, it is a Court Kings auto where he literally just drew a line on the card. I don't know. Maybe he was, you know, talking to his girl, or he was talking to somebody and he just, you know, wasn't even looking. I mean, it's just terrible. That's going to be one of the main hits of your case probably, is this Cam Reddish. And that's what you get. I mean, it's just bad. I actually tweeted him out. I added him to the thread that was going on Twitter about it. And I was like, I hope that they see this stuff, because people pay money for these cards. People collect Cam Reddish, Duke, you know, he played with Zion, you know, and I mean, what was he thinking?
We've been doing this for 10 years. That could be the worst autograph I've ever seen. That could vary. I mean, Morency, when he was a rookie with the check mark, bad. I would actually love a check mark on that card. Now, granted, we've seen Cam Reddish autos throughout the year. They're not amazing. Nothing that he's done is that bad. You gotta kind of look at the manufacturer with the quality control there and say, maybe we don't put this one in.
Yeah.
Maybe we don't do it. I don't know. I don't know what you do, because you can't, like, if it's numbered, you can't really not put it in. But they do always get the players to sign extra cards,
right?
For this exact reason, like say if it's damage and shipment, or if the auto's smeared, they can swap it out, maybe restamp it. But that is probably just as much on the manufacturer's quality control as it is on Cam Reddish.
Well, I mean, it did get packed out during the pandemic. Can you give them maybe a little, less staff?
But why would you? That's bad. I love saying this phrase. That's bad optics for the manufacturer.
No, it's out of corkings.
But that that just looks bad for the manufacturer, because let's face it, it's out in social media now. It's a never forget. It's a never forget how bad Cam's Reddish auto was on that one card.
Right. And how does that make him look as far as maybe he tries to get a deal with Steiner or something like that, and they're like, maybe we don't want to sign him. I mean, I know he's not thinking about it. I mean, as a 20-year-old kid, if I had a successful basketball career and somebody's like, hey, can you sign some autos for a couple dollars? I wouldn't do that, but I may not take it as seriously as I think us collectors expect them to take seriously. These guys aren't really taking this whole thing seriously. They're just getting in and getting out. They got other things to do. I mean, you got to remember, some of these guys, too, are now millionaires, and some of them came from nothing. So it's like, I'm a millionaire now. Like, you know, whatever. You give me $5? Okay, cool, whatever. I mean, or I guess the fans want it, whatever. You know, so they're not taking it as seriously as collectors take it. They don't put the collector's hat on and go, I need to make sure I make this as art. Now, some guys do. Some guys really do take time, and it's consistent throughout the whole year, and they always do it the same way. But you can kind of see the quality control on some of these guys just go from full auto to initials to, you know, more. And we've got some other examples throughout this year. You know, we've been ragging on this poor gentleman. Now, people say that's in kanji there or whatever, but Rui Hachimura, I mean, he's even a bigger name than Cam Reddish is. You kind of wish you get a little bit more out of it. I mean, it looks even worse on NTRPAs when there's so much more room. And it's just that. You wish there'd be a couple more letters to it. Some recent examples from Contenders Draft. You've got Denzel Mims. And you also have Darnay Holmes. It looks like he just learned how to write his initials for the first time, which is just the DH. And then I think you have Omar Bayless, which is just an O and a squiggle. All of those are better than Cam Reddish's. Does anybody – and then you got Philip Clark.
Best one in the biz right there.
Well, he just skipped a few, you know.
No, I mean, the thing about, like, Philip Clark is that
– and if you listen to the podcast, I just go through and go on eBay and put Philip Clark non-auto.
So the thing about him is he used individual
is that a big word for you?
No. But if you put a black light over that card, you could see the auto. You know that, right?
No.
Yeah. Yeah. You didn't know that?
You're just messing with
no.
me.
No.
He skipped those, bro.
No, he signed it with a you could see it with a black light. He did it on purpose.
No, he did not.
Yeah, he did. No, he didn't.
Okay.
But hey, isn't that fun? Isn't it fun to make shit up?
You had me lost. You had me lost there. Invisi Ink.
I was Invisi believing Inc. for a hot second.
You gotta pour. Well, you should just tell people pour. Well, they'd be really mad at you. You'd be called blowhard again. But you should just say throw water on it. It'll show.
No, all I'm saying is just put a black light over it. You know what? The funny thing is nobody's tried it. So maybe if you tried it, maybe we're right.
A little Easter egg from Philip Clark. Maybe it says 101.
Check
on
that out. What if he did do that? And he's like Easter egg. Like they had a Invisi Ink little. They put it in there, and they're like, sign a couple like this. Wouldn't that be funny?
No.
Are we giving Top some ideas? I mean, they got obviously, like, again, bad optics because it looks like he missed the card. And he probably did. And granted, for him, they could have stuck together when he was doing it. I think there was more than one or two. So like
there is.
I think he basically was going through the base, and who knows, there could have been like 1,000 of them, and he's like, yep, I'm done. I'm gonna go eat a cheeseburger and hang out and watch some TV.
More of a eat cheeseburger.
Little Netflix and chill.
It's more of a kale shake guy, I think, personally.
But yeah, I mean, who knows?
Anybody else say anything about bad autographs in the chat?
Nope, same ones that you guys were talking about.
Oh, okay. Well, I guess I didn't miss any.
I actually, because the Cam Reddish is so bad, the Rui Hachimura actually looks pretty good.
Yeah.
Like if you, I'm. It's funny how we put those two back to back because it just made the Hachimura look that much better.
I did. I know. Kind of making him look a little bit better.
Set the bar so low.
He had to have just messed up on that one. I want to see if there's more. I
mean, no, like obviously I've been playing basketball. Opening the season's products for Cam Reddish autograph has progressively gotten worse. And then it just so happens for Court Kings, you know, like he started signing them diagonally. instead of just, you know, like just on like on a flat, like just a straight line. So I think when he went diagonal, it got significantly worse. I didn't see that line one that we had on the slide, but I pulled one where I swear it was almost just like a line. But it had,
because he only puts a couple squiggles around the line.
It did have a little C.
Yeah.
But it was the worst one that I had ever seen, and that was in Court Kings as well.
I think I might have figured it out. Maybe he was doing a two-step signing process. Like, he just went, pew, pew, pew. He's just going through him a line, and then he had to go back and put the C later. Maybe he just forgot.
Dude, that would take so much time. I think he was signing those.
And not paying attention.
And he needed to go to the restroom really bad, and he was like, I need to go right now. Just like the last one, he just like,
bam, I'm just done. Like,
he's all, I'm out. But Or he could have been on his phone or doing something else. But like, another thing is that say he looked at that and he's like, oh man, I kind of screwed that up. Like, going over it again, I think they actually say in the instructions to not go over your autograph again.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah,
if
yeah.
you mess it up,
yeah.
Like, don't try to fix it. Cause imagine if you like started trying to like fix it and then it's like, like inks over itself, it looks like really bad. It
looks really bad.
So he probably looked at that and he's like, "Uh-oh, I messed that one up." And then he like was all, "I can't do anything to fix it, so I'm just gonna put it in the."
And that's a good point because Phil Hughes, you guys can check him out. I'm sure you guys already do watch some of his breaks.
Yeah, they said in the chat too.
Former Yankee Phil Hughes was doing a signing for Archives, and he was showing the whole process, which was cool because we don't get to see that, you know. So he showed the bubble mailer, came in. They had the pack of pens that said, you know, only use these. And then he had all the – so he laid it all out. So it was good to see that process. He put eBay 101 on a couple of them. He inscribed things on there as well, which is cool to see that process, which we don't get to see. So I would definitely check out Phil's polls for that. But I wanted to get into a segment, and I think we're getting close on time here. But we got Diamond Kings breaking next. I don't know if it's sold out. Probably pretty close. $19.99 a spot. And we'll be breaking Diamond Kings for a while. But I wanted to talk about Legacy Football, which is dropping on Friday. And I wanted to relate this to market fatigue because this is a entry-level football product. It is a two-autograph football product. It's sticker autos with collegiate uniforms because we haven't took pictures of the, you know, the guys in their pro uniform yet. And last year, we literally had to – I think I sold it to somebody for like $60 a box just to move through what we had. We're coming out, and this is on major online retailers. They're all paralleled here. We're coming out at $200 a box on this stuff, and I just don't understand. And I'm feeling you guys. I'm seeing the comments of the fatigue. I mean, granted, yeah, NT has those nosebleed level cards. 2020 Bowman has Jason Dominguez as first Bowman. Those prices are justified. But we're inflating a lower end collegiate sticker football product.
That's $100 a sticker auto.
That is $100 a sticker auto. We're inflating a product that never is in demand or hasn't been. I mean, I'll wait and make my final verdict on Friday when we break it. But it's $200. I know what our cost is. That is outrageous. That is outrageous for a price on a lower end football product. And I think we're starting to price out collectors on stuff like this. You know, the guys that couldn't make it into the 2019 National Treasures, they go into their card shop. Card shop has a four. Like a $800 to $1,000 box. They don't want that, but maybe they can afford $100 box. This should be $100 to $120 box. Should not be a $200 box. So now, I mean, your local card stores may be beating the price. They may be at $160, $170 because of this, but it should be a $120 to $140 box. So I don't know what's going on, but I think it needs to stop because we're fatiguing people's wallets. People are not getting the return on their investment on their cards. It shouldn't be priced this high. You can see it in the comments. This is some of the Instagram comments. Panini's not deciding this price. So let me get that clear. Panini is not deciding this price.
That's the word. People get confused a lot. They think Panini is the one that's marking up these products.
Right. I mean, when you talk about first off a line, Dutch auction, yes, that's made them look bad on this. But right here, Score and Legacy over $200 a box, not a hobby. I'm looking to be part of this. I'm looking to be a part of with these ridiculous prices. Score is one of the worst products, and Legacy is right behind that. Can't wait to see something that the price of something like what Optic will be. So that's what people are thinking. If Legacy is $200 a box, is Optic going to be $500 a box? So, you know, I don't know what these major retailers are thinking. I don't know what they're doing. I don't know why they're going so high on products that have never been this high. And we got to speak with our wallets here. We got to make these prices drop. I mean, the good thing is we're doing breaks. We got cheap teams. We're not going to gouge like some of these guys are doing. I'm going to offer these for personals next week at a lower price than that. $200 a box is just too much. I don't know what the thought process is. And like I said, unless I got to wait on Friday and we got to see something that's going to be like, oh my God, maybe they knew something we didn't.
A Brady every box?
I mean, and then you go into some of the next stuff here. I got one more thing. People have to stop buying. You can't get anything for regular prices at local card stores, and it's just getting price gouged. And like I said before, the Bowmans, the NTs, the basketball market, that's fine. Those are justified because the singles are selling. We're not going to see a Joe Burrow $10,000 card coming out of a legacy product. We're not going to see a Jerry Jeudy auto go for more than like $100 to $120. It's not going to happen. So that means that all those boxes
probably wouldn't be $100.
Right. So all those boxes, you can't even get anything that's going to make your value back. So I don't know the thought process. Is it just we're just piggybacking on the high end basketball market, or trying to make the football market the same way? I don't know.
I think it's the old saying, like, you pitch them high, you watch them buy. But it's a lot easier to go down on a price than it is to go up on the price.
Right.
So you can start at a high price and you could always go down, and it looks like you're doing a service to your customers by changing the price and going lower, as it looks the opposite when you start it low and you go higher. It's, again, bad optics. There's that phrase again to the consumer. It looks like you're taking advantage of them. So again, it's easier to go down than it is to go up. So why not start high? And if it doesn't sell, you can always go down. And I think that is what we're seeing. I honestly don't think anybody is going to an online retailer or in a card shop and handing over $200 for a legacy or score box.
Right. I mean, and I reserved my comments for Score, because Score is – that's a brand that's been around. I mean, you got the Barry Sanders rookie. You know, it's an iconic brand.
But
Legacy was created a couple of years ago.
It piggybacked off of Classic.
Right, it did, which didn't work either.
But Score is a entry-level brand.
Right.
The Legacy is an entry-level product.
But at least Score has four autos.
Yeah, but it shouldn't get much higher than $150 a box.
Right.
And this should be about $100 to $120 a box.
Yeah, and why? I mean, it hasn't even been out yet. I could see if it's like, boom, it's out. And it's like, man, everybody would get a Joe Burrow. And like C-Rod said, we'll get a Tom Brady every case. Like, okay, well, this stuff's hot. They didn't make that much of it. Now let's raise up the price.
Honestly, there's a fair amount of it made. It's going to be available. I feel that, like, once it gets set at a price, it doesn't go any lower than that right now, which will change as demand changes.
Bowman already went lower on major online retailers from when it started. So,
well,
because they're starting at the highest point, like you said.
With Bowman, there is so much margin to work with.
Right.
Like, they can lower it by $40 and it isn't going to affect the bottom line at all.
Right.
So this one, there's not as much margin to work with. You can't lower in violation of MAP if you lower it to like under $100.
Right. Yeah, I don't know what cost is, but I remember last year, I think it retailing for around $120. So we went $80 swing. I mean, is the rookie class $80 a box better?
I mean, let's face, there's a lot of quarterbacks and it is a good rookie class, but these are the cards that are going to be, if you're collecting Burrows or you're collecting Tua, you're collecting a Herbert, you're collecting one of the quarterbacks, this is a product where you're going to be able to get their rookie autos. Again, it's not like it doesn't have them in their teams, doesn't have them in their NFL teams, college sticker auto. You're going to be able to get it for like $100. Joe Burrow's auto out of Legacy is not going to be much more than $100 to $150.
Right. So that's like, yeah.
So you're looking at essentially your case hit is not even going to pay for a box.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, and that's the thing. It's like you have content. I think nobody's going to be like, hey, check out, like, so let's just say the season ended. We went through all the products. We did NT. We did Contenders. We did Prism. We did all of it. And we're going on to the 2021 season. And somebody's like, check out my Joe Burrow's PC. They're not going to be like, it's my cornerstone right here is the Legacy card. Then nobody's going to say that. They'll be like, look at my Contenders. Look at my Prism Silver. Look at my NT RPA.
And I get that, but there is a spot for legacy in the hobby. It's for the people who can't afford the $3,000 rookie auto at RPA out of National Treasures. If you're a Burroughs fan, you can get a Joe Burroughs auto at a legacy for $100. And that's what it is meant for. It's meant to like put one of your favorite players or favorite teams into your collection and say, I do have an auto of this player.
And this is going to be interesting to see. So we will see, because I think Panini's posting it on their website on Friday. I would love for them to come out at 120.
It will be one. I don't know how much it's going to be, but it's probably going to be $180 to $200.
I think they should prove a point here on this one.
The thing is what we're saying right now, like we can get a crazy amount of backlash for saying what we're saying, because we're basically telling everybody, including ourselves, let's make less money. Like
because at the end of the day, we're not snake oil salesmen. When we see something that's not worth the price, we're going to say it. You know, we're not on the feed. People trust to spend money with us because we're offering the best products at the best prices that we can offer it at.
But we don't know what's going on with these online retailers. We don't know if like they have legacies up there and they're just like blasting through box after box in the pre-sale, and they're just selling like crazy. Like at that point, don't you look at it and go, well, maybe we're too cheap.
Right.
So we don't know. They could, I would say they're probably not selling a bunch at that price, but I don't know. I could be wrong. They can be selling hundreds of boxes at $200 every day.
I'm not hating on anybody making money. If you can make money, if you can sell your card for double than it's worth, that's fine. It's capitalism. But, you know, as far as us being, you know, your guys is, you know, you guys who trust us, you spend money with us, try to get the best value for your money. I just don't see it with that product, and I don't understand the mindset. And then lastly, before we go, I wanted to talk about the fact that Spectra's coming out next week, and none of the online retailers have it offered at any price. So the first off the line drops today, drops to about $800.
It sold out at $800.
Sold out at $800. But you can't buy the regular one. Why can't you buy the regular one? Well, why can't you buy it from anybody? We have breaks posted, but why can't you buy Spectra from any online retailer right now? If you wanted to be like, hey, I want to lock it in, you can't. It's not available for sale for anybody. Yeah. So why?
I think it has to do with the fact that First Off the Line comes out and they don't want to set a concrete price of what it's worth. If you started at $1,250, and you can't compare it to anything online because no online retailers have it.
Right.
Then if everybody did, like say they had the regular at like $400, well, you basically just set a ceiling on the First Off the Line at $500 to $600. Why would I pay more than $200 for the extra content that's in each box when I can just buy a box right now for $400? So I think, I don't know for sure, but it just seems kind of suspicious when you look at all the online retailers and you try to get a gauge of what a product is going to sell for when a First Off the Line is released and it's nowhere to be found.
Right.
Is that a coincidence? I don't know. Is it to basically maybe not set a ceiling for the First Off the Line price? I don't know.
Who knows?
And then if the First Off the Line sells for $800, well, now the regular release has now went up in value to about $700.
Right.
So it's just like what the market is being set at. I don't think, I know these online retailers, they got their numbers for Spectra. They got it.
They know how much they have.
They know how much they got. They can order. They can offer it to their customer. But
granted, they are all getting cut because of the First Off the Line, because they're using some of that content to make the First Off the Line rather than the regular. So, what's our time right now?
3:50.
I mean, is it a coincidence that right after the first,
so we're cutting into the Diamond King's time right now, right?
I'll say this one topic and then I'll bounce. Is it a coincidence that right after the First Off the Line is done and finished and there's been basically a market set, that you start seeing the online retailers pop up with pre-sales for that product to come out the next week or two?
It's interesting.
I'm spitballing here. Am I looking at something? Am I digging a little too deep? Am I what am I doing here? Am I
unless they're not offered it until after.
I'm pretty sure in like 3 to 4 days, I can probably go to an online retailer and buy Spectra basketball.
Well, what does it come out next Wednesday?
Yeah.
So Monday?
Maybe before that. Maybe over the weekend.
I have not seen Blowout. I have not seen Spectra on Blowout. I've been looking every day to see when they would. And granted, whatever price they had originally, it probably, you know, a couple sold out early, like case wise. But I have not. I've never seen it on their site.
Do you think it's just a coincidence that the first off the line gets released and then no online retailer? Like, nobody has it. Nobody ever has it before the,
well,
the
we
first
have off the line.
We do. We do. Because we just, like, we know what the product's going to deliver.
Yeah.
We know what the product's worth, and we know what we're into it for. So maybe we get it. Maybe Doug is a mad scientist, and he's broke the code.
I just want to offer it to people that are willing to spend money earlier and they're willing to get in 2 weeks before. I mean, you got to offer it at the price. Now it's going to go up and we're probably not going to make anywhere near the amount it's going to retail for. It's not even going to be close. But what's the point of waiting and making an extra couple dollars here and there and just pissing off people? I don't know. That's just my point of view. But we'll leave you on that. We got Diamond Kings. We got some NT today. We got more Clearly Authentic. Also, check the schedule for Friday. We got Legacies. You don't have to buy a box for $200. You can buy a team for around $20. We've got all kinds of breaks lined up for the week. So check it out. And we're going to be trying to ramp up the show. We're going to have a new channel for the show and stuff like that. You'll still be able to find it here, but we're going to have a content channel coming up. We've got a lot of things going on. So thank you guys for tuning in. Once again, get in on those giveaways. We're giving away a Fernando Tatis signed jersey. We're giving away a Dylan Larkin signed jersey. We're giving away a Ben Simmons signed jersey. You can find that on our Instagram at mojobreak_com. It'll tell you how to participate and win one of these sweet jerseys. We're just trying to get some more followers to our Instagram account. So, you know, if you're not already on there, if you're on Twitter and Facebook, get an Instagram. Let's do it. You got to sell them, Dan. Come on.
If you like picture books, go ahead and get on Instagram.
All right, guys. We'll see you guys later. Thanks, you guys, for tuning in. Peace out.